part three of the Buzz Bubble interview with Jeff Goodby. Now back to our host, Kevin Kelly. On the Buzz Bubble.
I mean, I've seen some work you guys have done in the viral vein. Hotel 66 was amazing. And
well, you know, social networking is really just a way of putting a whole bunch of match heads together and lighting them on fire, and they all go up at once. And, you know, that wasn't possible before, which is really, it's really a cool thing that we can do that. I mean, one of the things that Hotel 626 did was that it really offered an experience, an immersive experience that you went to and you went, yeah, this is actually kind of nuanced and you know, more complex than what I had seen before. It's not just a, I mean, and I'm the first guy to like a kick in the balls thing that's done really well. I'm cool with that. But I do think that many times those things are not as alluring as we hope they'll be. I mean, you can do stories now on the internet. You can make novels that people go inside. That's kind of what those, what the Hotel 626
is. For anybody who's not familiar with Hotel 626, you should check it out. We'll put a link on the site. It's, you know, you could spend a half an hour, you can spend an hour, and you can, you know, get into it.
I think the average time was 36 minutes. So,
wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty immersive.
When Doritos brought back two flavors from the dead, something dark came back with them. Everything's scarier at night. That's why Hotel 626 is only open from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. You're living a nightmare in a 3D world never before seen in a website. You're trapped in a haunted hotel and have to do whatever it takes to get out. This nightmare is personal. Hotel 626 uses your webcam to sneak a picture of you and shows it to you later in a serial killer's lair.
You shouldn't be in there.
Your one salvation is a phone call on your actual cell phone that gives you directions on how to get out and knows your every move.
Quick, head down the hallway, turn right.
After you've made it out of Hotel 626, you get a call on your cell phone.
You made it out. But we'll see you again in the darkness.
The online media had to live up to the innovation of the site. We started with social networking site Twitter. But we didn't just create a group on Facebook. We created a Hotel 626 application that let guests scare their friends, and a personalized experience where guests could upload their Hotel 626 Polaroid directly to their Facebook page. To attract even more attention to the site, a viral documentary film was created featuring teens in odd testing scenarios.
That's way beyond any viral video that you could ever want to make. So. To say that's where it's going, I think, is a good portion of what we should all be thinking about, not just...
Yeah. And, you know, in the follow-up Asylum 626 that we did this year, there it does all kinds of... You know, you basically have to go, yes, it's okay if you take my picture. Yes, it's okay if you use my Facebook page. And so suddenly when you go into the experience, you know, you see a reflection of your face in some water and the murderer's behind you and it's you that's about to be murdered, you know, and you're like, how did that happen?
Right.
And what happens is your webcam took a picture of you while you were playing the game and it gets put into this sink.
So amazing.
You know, stuff like that, very subtle, takes your friends and puts them up there and goes, you know, you have to like sacrifice one of these people to the murderer.
Most of us could have like three dozen. Which one do you want?
Yeah. So, you know, it does things like that to you that are surprising for sure.
Fantastic. Art and Copy, fantastic film, and do you remember when you got contacted and, you know, how you felt about taking your place on film in the history of advertising?
Well, I didn't think it was going to be that, to tell you the truth. You know, usually I do interviews like that or this, and, you know, you go see the movie and there's like 14 seconds of you, and then you're like,
wait, that's me.
I said a lot of smart stuff. And, but that movie actually did, I think, a terrific job of using the best things that people said. And What a great context for people that might go into the business, you know?
Advertising makes food taste better. It makes cars run better.
I think many times what they're buying is what they wish their lives would be.
There are a lot of people in this business, but damn few really good ones.
Did you see that thing?
Oh, by the way, I'll take it.
This goes on and on and on and on and on.
I think a lot of the stuff that we talked about in their TV commercials and, you know, old time advertising meetings and stuff were not necessarily what happens in advertising now, but the spirit of it was still there. The fact that it's a really immersive kind of interesting business and, you know, requires like the best part of your creativity to do it well was really there. Plus, the, you know, the crazy George Lois shit with him screaming.
That was great.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great. Everybody was, it was fantastic. It was really well put together.
Yeah, I thought it was inspirational in a way. It made me really dig the business, you know.
Something that Doyle Dane Birnbach, or I guess Bill Birnbach, did back when, putting the art director and the copywriter in the room, is kind of going on now with people use the term digital agency, and then people say, what does that mean? Well, you know, for me, and I've talked to other people, and I won't claim this idea, but the idea of now let's bring the tech guy and let's put him in the room too. And I mean, you guys have some great, well, the 626 is a great example, but also the work you do for HP, the TV spots, I mean, a lot of tech in that. I mean, you know, what are your thoughts on what really that whole term is, digital agency, and the idea of bringing, you know, the tech guy into the concept, you know, when you're starting to generate the ideas instead of the old school of, all right, here's the idea, you know, make a website, make an application, you know.
Yeah, do the next thing with it.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, the best ideas we've had around here in the last few years didn't necessarily come from the Bill Birnbach system of two people together in a room. You know, many times it's like six people together in a room now, or three or four people in the digital side of the thing that are more digitally literate, coming and saying, you know, you can do this now, and other people going, really, that's exciting, you know, let's try to go in that direction. So I do think that it takes a lot of different specialties being together in one place more than it used to. But, you know, again, it's still about somebody getting everybody else excited in a way and having an idea that makes everybody in the room go, serve it, you know. I'm ready to serve your idea. It's really good. It's going to serve me to serve you.
Right.
Because that's, I think, what happens when there are good ideas, no matter how many people are involved, you know.
Excellent. You and Alex Bogusky had gotten together to kind of put together and judge the Small Agency Awards last year. How did that come about, and how?
It came about largely because we were bitching, I think, independently to Ad Age editors about the coverage that small agencies get. Because I remember saying to Jonah Bloom, you know, I don't think that small agencies get the kind of quick coverage that we got in 1989 or so, when we were like Agency of the Year in Ad Age in 89, and we had 50 people or something.
Wow.
And I said to him, that would never happen now. I mean, you know, God love you guys. You do celebrate creativity to the extent you possibly can. But you would never give Agency of the Year to a 50-person agency in San Francisco. It just wouldn't happen.
Right.
And that's sad, isn't it? And
from being an owner of a 20-person agency.
Interesting thing going on, you know? I mean, it could be. In fact, it very likely is. You know, I went to Sydney and I met these guys at an agency called Three Drunk Monkeys. They might be the most interesting agency in the world. And, you know, they got 50 or 60 people.
Right.
And there's no reason why that can't be a really, really big story, other than we've come to celebrate other stuff, you know, new business wins and growth and, you know, stuff that doesn't really have anything to do with the reason why all the people in art and copy are in the business.
Right. You know? Where can I find more information about those awards and those agencies? And, you know, is there
those little places?
Was there?
Well, that's what I mean. You kind of have to know that they're there. You know, I mean, you gotta know them. By the time they're a certain size, they're not like that anymore.
Right.
You're right. There's no site for it. There's no. How do you find them?
Is this gonna happen again next year? Or?
Yeah. That's all. It's all gonna be. I think it has been published already. They published the results of that. Yeah,
okay.
They had winners and everything. Yeah, because we judged it and it was all chosen and put out.
That's going to be an annual thing, or?
I hope so. I don't know. I haven't gotten any promises from them about that.
Okay.
See, that's what happens, is it turns into something that's just done for a year, and then they put it on the back burner, and then suddenly the small agencies aren't getting any real publicity anymore. And even that, you know, I don't think they got big publicity. I mean, I'm talking about being on the cover of Ad Age at a time when Ad Age was actually a big, majorly relevant publication with 60 people. That ain't going to happen now.
Not in 2010.
Yeah.
That's it for part three of the Buzz Bubble with Jeff Goodby. Tune in next week for part four. On the Buzz Bubble.